Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We also have some news today. Continuing as tonight at 8 o'clock, we will have the official release of the NFL schedule, the full season schedule. Now, drips and drabs have come out over the last couple of days. And as we know, again, what we have, the Giants on Christmas Day at Philadelphia against the Eagles. That's a pretty exciting one. We have the Jets on Black Friday, the Amazon Prime Day. They will play the Dolphins that day. I think it's 3 o'clock, right, at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
And then we were guessing, okay, so what is going to be week one? And we all said, Aaron Rodgers, Jets, it has to be Monday Night Football. You got to do it. It makes sense. It's Aaron Rodgers, his debut. You know ESPN wants to have his debut. And so, yes, the Jets do get the Monday Night Football game, the first of the doubleheader, on September 11th, also significant, a game in New York. But it's not against the Giants, which we thought it might be. It is Bills-Jets. Right there in week one, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, right away to start the season. Bart, what do you think of this matchup?
It's stupid. I mean, I understand it's the dumbest thing, and I think they're screwing the Jets. Not because I'm afraid of the Buffalo Bills. Right, we beat him last year with Zach Wilson, but the fact is we missed an opportunity, and I don't know why they can't explain it to us. Maybe it's because of a lot of the Jewish holidays that fall in September, and they got to figure out how they're going to have the home and away schedule. But it just doesn't make sense because they're going to eventually play each other this year anyway. Why not have it? You know, the symbolism of having two New York teams, and we can't talk about the Bills. Yes, they are in New York. Yeah, but they weren't part of 9/11 in the tragedy. They're far, far away from that. So they didn't have to deal with the tragedy. I'm sure maybe they had people that, as a lot of people did, have people that have lost people during that time.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there with that.
I'm just saying, having the symbolism of the Jets and Giants, two of the teams that helped bring New York back to normal, you know, with sports, and also the Mets and what they did, and the Yankees and what they did, to be able to have that, how powerful that was. You had John Lynch saying, this just makes too much sense. But I guess it doesn't make enough sense to the people that the office is in New York. It makes absolutely no sense. And you're screwing them. Because guess what you could have did, though, Alan? You had two guys. Now the pressure's on. You have a divisional game to open up. You could have had the Jets and Giants, and it would have been fine because it really wouldn't have hurt the losing team.
Yeah, that would have been because they're not in the same conference more than anything. All right, can I tell you who I think put the kibosh on the idea of Jets and Giants Monday Night Football Week 1, September 11th?
Your girl? You mean Goodell?
No. The Giants. There's no way in hell they would want that game. Why would they want to be the host of Aaron Rodgers' first game as a Jet? So it's a home game, not really a home game, first of all. Second of all, it's a game for them that there's no attention on them whatsoever. Why are they going to do that? It's the last thing they would want to do.
But why would you want to see?
If you're the Giants, there's no chance you want to be part of a pomp and circumstance that has nothing to do with you.
But why would you want to face A-Ron once he's developed chemistry?
Well, they're going to play them October 29th, I believe, released.
And they should be a well-oiled machine.
A 1 o'clock game at MetLife Stadium on October 29th.
They should be a well-oiled machine by then.
Okay, fine. But they don't want
– I want to get A-Ron cold.
They don't want to host your party, Bart. That's the Giants. I'm telling you. If you ask me, that stuff was kicked around because you know you heard it.
Text me, Dayball.
You know you heard it.
Dayball, text me. Let me know. Let me know that you said no.
We're not host because they're the home team, and they're not hosting your party. No chance. On national TV, nah, we're all set.
All right.
Get somebody else to do that.
Hold up. You don't
think – brought the Bills in instead, and now you get an AFC divisional game between two teams you expect to battle for the – absolutely. You lose this game, you're already behind the eight ball.
game and a half.
It is a difficult – I hate having a divisional matchup in week one. I hate it. I don't like it at all on many, many levels, but this is what you're getting, and it's why. Because it will sell better because it's Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers.
It wouldn't
it's not just Jets-Bills.
But it wouldn't
it's the two young. It's the two quarterbacks, the young quarterback, the gunslinger. These two quarterbacks that are now in the AFC, and the AFC is all – it's the land of quarterbacks. The AFC is, and this is your first real big matchup between them. And it's not the only one because the Post is reporting – that Jets-Chiefs at MetLife is October 1st on Sunday Night Football. So NBC made sure to jump in on this, and they get a piece of Aaron Rodgers on national TV, and it's against Patrick Mahomes.
I love you, but I hate you at the same time, Aaron Rodgers. Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, I got to beat Sydney's doing these damn – I'll be getting home at 12 o'clock coming in Monday, barbecue chicken, because this dude got 35 national televised games. Thanks a lot, A-Ron. You better win them. Yeah. You better win them. You better win them. I'm going to come up there and punch you in the face, Aaron.
Oh, man, you're right. Your Monday shows when the Jets play Sunday
what
night.
Am I doing?
Oh, boy. You're right. You're going to be exhausted. And then – if they play Monday night, your Tuesday show is even worse.
Yo, you feel me?
You think you yawn now on the air with me.
You feel me? Now you feel me.
I do feel you think right now I don't feel you.
Yeah,
you
like
think
Bart,
right now
hey,
what
Bart,
I'm
come,
doing.
Can you come in Tuesday and do get up after, yeah. You know, after, yeah, right, I might as well just stay. I might as well just stay.
You're telling me that you're going to live the life I'm living right now, which you is, got, by the way, the hotel room they gave, did you ever get the room that looks, you have? They have a terrace. I finally got like a room that they usually give to like big superstars like you. And it's a terrace, and you go out on the terrace, and the Brooklyn Bridge is literally right in front of your face.
They always tell me just drive in because I'm closer than you. So thanks a lot.
Well, that's your mistake.
Big time. I did stay at the Binkman, and it reminds me of Red Rum.
Nice.
And it reminds me of Red Rum when you look
does.
At the hallway. It's like 1,000 years old.
It does. The Shining.
Red rum, red rum.
You're waiting for a little kid on a big wheel coming around the corner.
Or the twins walking down the hallway. You're like, you know what? If I ever see that, I'm out. Yeah, I ain't even tell them I'm checked out. You could keep my stuff in the room, yeah. Send it to me. Yeah, I'm out. I'll holler at you later.
That hotel is like, it smells like Old Spice. It is so old.
Bourbon. Just smell like spilled bourbon.
Yeah, right.
All in the books. Like, it's cigar smoke stuck in the books.
But you're going to know what my life is like now. So this is my Friday.
I've always known what your life is like.
You ready for my Friday? This is my Friday. This is my tomorrow.
Okay.
I got to get up in the morning. So yeah. I got to get up at 4:30. I got to be in there by like, you know, 7.
You tripping. You know what time I get to get up? You know what time
10.
I get to get up? You tripping.
We have our show at noon, mm-hmm. Which you will be coming in early to meet me for breakfast, yes?
Yeah, I'm going to take you to dinner, to the brunch.
To the diner, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go boxing, then I'll meet you right at the boxing.
Oh, no. You're going boxing. I know how you're going to be like. So then after our show, then I got to go up to the Garden, and we have Knicks game 6. And then that, you know, obviously the post game and all that stuff.
It's Sunday, you got game 7?
So Monday's game 7.
Okay.
So think about this. Waking up at 4 a.m., getting home at about 1 a.m.
Yeah. That's a man's day right there.
That's a day, baby.
I'm make sure I – listen, we'll eat at where we eat at. Then I go buy you a matcha muffin. You know what I mean? To kind of boost you up. And I'll get you like triple espresso.
Yeah. He's going to need all that. And then a 4-hour drive up to Binghamton on Saturday for Emma's graduation.
Oh,
who's
man.
Winning?
Congrats.
Who's winning, Bart?
Yes.
Who's winning?
You're able to drop a bill. You winning.
Yeah, right. And also, right, the dinner after graduation at the Lost Dog up there in Binghamton, who's paying that bill?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why baby.
That's why you need the overtime.
Like, you think I'm pocketing this? No, it goes out as fast as it comes in, man. All right, so again, Bills-Jets to open the season. Jets-Chiefs, October 1st. And
Friday
then you have
night
the Dolphins
game.
Right after, the day after Thanksgiving.
And if they ball, you know they're going to get about one or two more games flexed.
Oh, I mean, look, first of all, those are three that you would consider the national games, right?
I'm glad that those are all home games. I'm glad that those are all home games because that's going to be big money for the city. You think about the prime time games.
Great point.
It's going to be sold out arenas. It's going to be like hotels are going to be packed, you know, because people are going to fly in and see that. You know what I mean? Especially if the season gets off to a fast start. Mm-hmm. Now the Jets, everything has to be focused to winning week one, right? You talk about the Bills and where they are as an organization. They've underachieved. I don't know if Von Miller will even be back by then. You know what I mean? I don't know how healthy he'll be. He'll probably be on a pitch count. You talk about how people are nervous about that turf. You know what I mean? Sitting there, and I know they're going to change it. But then you'll have A-Ron coming out fast. And that's why it's important. That's why I'm happy that he's been there since he signed, since he showed up. He's been there every day getting chemistry with these guys.
That's great.
And I think they're far from done. But also you talk about the Bills going into a season, year two of Ken Dorsey, but also the first year without Leslie Frazier, who's taken a year off from coaching.
I forgot about
so
that.
It's going to be the first time that they're really going to be calling defense by themselves with a nice new caller. So, hey, attack them early. Could be the perfect time.
I totally forgot about that. And remember, you're right. Zach Wilson beat this defense last year.
Yeah.
Because your defense was really good.
Without Michael Hyde, though, remember.
Okay.
No Michael Hyde. They just believe had
I believe the Jets held them to 20 points in both games, if I'm not mistaken. And in the one game that Mike White started, they only scored 12 points, right? It was all field goals. Couldn't get in the end zone.
You're right.
So, again, if your defense is good and can – like, I don't know. On GetUp, they asked me to predict. And I said 34-20 Jets.
Yeah. That momentum, you know what I mean? You got.
What a tone setter it'd be.
I'm hoping this new kid that runs the 4-2 from the the fourth round draft pick from Pitt. I hope he's ready to return some kicks, and I hope McCall Harmon ain't fair catch Charlie like Braxton Berrios afraid the damn. I used to be so mad,
fair
like yo, Freddy. Like yo, it's nobody near you.
Fair catch Freddie. We don't like those guys, man.
Yo, man, it just pisses me off.
But can you lose a game like this and make it – like because that's the part that frustrates me.
And inspire, you
say? Is that you – yeah, like you start off the season with such a critical game because it's divisional. And, I mean, look, you know how New York goes. Mm-hmm. If you don't win this game, you know what the headlines are going to be, right? Rodgers and out. Like, give me some other headlines that you can come up with, right? Woe and one. Same old Jets. Like, there'll be all kinds of stuff if they don't win the first game. And you got to live with that.
Give them goatless.
Yeah, exactly. Like, whatever it is, like, that's what you're going to deal with. But you got to play these games.
Yeah.
One way or another, you're going to have to play them. So is it better to go into the season, and you as a player know this, like, who were your first two games of the season when you were with the Jets? You remember your week
one? My week one was Houston, and week two was the Patriots.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Home opener was the Patriots. Stopped them on 4th-and-1.
That's right. So you're going to have to play these anyway. Is it better to have week one to know, like, in August, as you're getting ready for the start of the regular season, that you're already in your minds preparing for a divisional matchup and getting amped up for that? Or is it better to ease into the season with a couple of like non-divisional, non-conference games to just kind of get yourself ready and then built up for that big divisional, the first divisional matchup?
No, it strengthens the focus, right? Because that means that you don't have time. You have a date that you know you're going to have a tough opponent opening up. So, like, everybody's going to be locked in and focused. Training camp's going to be about getting off to a fast start and beating the Buffalo Bills. You know, it's going to be about putting parts of the game plan in there and trying to figure out who they are and how you can attack them and going off all that. Even preseason is going to be about putting fake stuff on film that Rodgers is doing that's not going to be part of the game plan. It's going to be stuff out there that they may have to prepare for that they're going to use that way. They probably put I always forget the fourth, Strevler, is that his name?
He might be still on the roster, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll probably go out with a whole wildcat package to make them have to prepare for that. Like you just like in preseason, everything is about confusing your future opponent. So you do stuff that you don't even plan to even do.
Just showing the crazy stuff that right.
Yeah,
like you're never
like,
gonna
yeah,
go
yeah,
to.
Like yeah, prepare for that.
Yeah, Strebler is the fourth, right? Yeah, obviously Tim Boyle is the guy that they picked up, and another guy that knows the system pretty well, a former Packer. From the Giants side of things, the only game we know about, I believe, to date. Now, we do know the opener. That was another report. So September 7th, Thursday, is the Chiefs are always – it's always the champion that hosts.
You got the Lions.
And that, how about that game?
That can be an aerial attack.
Like Detroit – and that's not a – like Detroit's not a pushover. This is They're getting him good though
because Jameson Williams is suspended for the first six games because bet on college football while in a NFL. But he bet on college football, but he was on a NFL property.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
So he
be,
got six.
Yeah. Yeah, in the building. But still, it's for you as a Detroit guy. All right, for Papa Smurf. Is this like a first arrival to the scene kind of game?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's almost a show of respect to what Dan Campbell has done there with the Lions?
It's expectations. I believe I picked the Lions to win that division.
Ooh, okay.
Easy. Now they got they got a better defense and a better offense than Minnesota. Green Bay, we don't know what the hell they are. And Chicago's still learning and rebuilding.
Still trying to figure it out. The one game we know about the Giants so far, which, again, I'm looking for anything to leak out on them, but we do know the Christmas Day game, which is really a spicy one. But I got to think, if the Jets have Monday night, that does leave MetLife. Can they play a Sunday and then a Monday night? Do they do that, Bart? Probably not, right? The Giants does that mean the Giants are opening on the road? If the Jets are playing Monday night at home?
No, because they can turn that stadium over easy.
They can?
The whole day, yeah.
That doesn't necessarily
mean that. Yeah. It's just the end zone, bro. They just pull up the end zone, or they just repaint
the end zone. Point is, though, is that the field then is, you know, but I guess it's
no, it's turf. Like, but yeah, it makes it better because it packs everything down because people are running on it. So it actually packs down the surface. And remember, they're getting a new surface. So both teams are going to be having to learn how to run. Whenever you get new turf, you have to learn how to run on it, the slick spots, what type of spikes that you need to use in them. Do you lose molds? Do you lose yaw? Do you use turf shoes?
So, again, I don't know if anything's been released yet, but how about this? Let's just hypothetically, if the Giants were going to open home on Sunday, what would it mean if the league decided to have the Packers play the Giants Sunday?
That'd be funny.
Right?
So Aaron Rodgers comes to the game.
Like, you know what I mean?
Well, you suck.
Like, if you wanted to have fun with it in a way, because that is a home game for the Giants, right?
If you're trolling, yeah.
But you don't see that.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious because I think Aaron Rodgers will show up because technically that's an off day, and they'll be staying down at the hotel so he can come to the game just kind of check stuff out. You don't got to report to the hotel until 8 o'clock. That'd be funny.
Just because it's there, right?
Aaron being a box. Or the Giants, like, hey, man, let me tell you all about their offense.
I don't know.
Let me tell you what they do and what this formation means and what this check means.
It just – there's little things that you see that you're like, what if they did this? What if they did that?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm already looking forward to breakfast tomorrow.
Me too. I ain't ate today. I'm still fasting.
Well, if you're doing boxing in the morning, then you're going to be in ketosis.
Yeah, I'm
going to be hungry. Which means we're going to feast.
Yeah, I'm beef hungry. Yeah, I might actually eat carbs tomorrow.
I've never seen you eat a carb. Not in front of me.
I know. Well, not in the last couple of months. Yeah, I'm one of those guys that go eat in the closet.
All right. There's a lot of people that want to talk to us. We want to get to your calls, and we will. So stay right there. But right now, it is time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in this segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
So, yes, about the Knicks and their win last night. 112-103 to stay alive, force a game six down to Miami tomorrow. The game's at 7:30. Our coverage begins at 7 p.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN and also our pregame show on MSG Networks as well. In this game, you saw a lot of players just offer contributions in any way they could. Mitchell Robinson gave you 11 rebounds in this game. He actually stayed on the floor. He avoided foul trouble. That was important. But the biggest thing that he did was in the fourth quarter when the Heat decided to go hack a Shaq with him because he's not a very good free throw shooter. And they sent him to the line six times. He hit four of them. And there was an ovation for that. You know what some arenas, Bart, where they have like contests, and if the opponent misses two free throws, everybody gets chicken or something?
Yeah.
There should have been a contest that if he makes both, everybody gets, you know, whether it's a slice of pizza at Suprema or something like that, right? Anyway, yeah. So Mitchell Robinson was, they were going hack a Shaq with him. And I thought it was a really good question with an even better answer is that, you know, you were being fouled. Did that bother you? And what were you thinking?
I'm knocking these down.
Were you offended?
No, I was not offended at all. Part of basketball.
I was not offended at
all. He super swagged out that he made him. You know what I'm saying? If he'd have missed him, no comment.
It's like, I was not offended at all.
He would have been shooting 75 free throw shots after the game.
Hey, his free throws, you probably could put a line level on them.
You ain't lying.
Like, they are pretty much straight at the rim. But 4 out of 6, when it mattered most, that's, you know, again, excellent. And it was needed. And that, of course, was another big part of why the Knicks were able to hang on and win the game. You know who else hung on and survived once again?
Who daddy is?
That would be the Golden State Warriors. They get a win last night at home. And it was pretty much expected. It was this feeling that they were going to win. And if you remember, Mike Greenberg had this outrageous take that went viral and people were criticizing him like crazy because he felt like, we all know the Warriors are winning game 5. The Lakers, with no rest, with very little rest between games, they should bubble wrap Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Don't even send them, he said.
And what did you say?
You were afraid of them getting hurt. And so as this game is unfolding, at halftime, I believe it was like a 10-point lead. Chris Canty, actually, our good friend, who's a huge Lakers fan, said he turned off the game and went to bed at halftime, saying, I know they weren't going to win the game. Which we'll get to that about his level of fraud in a moment.
Oh, exactly.
But they lose the game, but they didn't just lose the game. LeBron James tweaked his ankle during that game. Now, he was fine, and he played the rest of the game. But that should have had you worried. And then an elbow from Kevon Looney catches Anthony Davis in the side of the head. And he's woozy now. Goes to the bench. He's holding his head. He finally walks off the court through the tunnel into the locker room where he does not look stable at all. And then there were reports that he needed a wheelchair to get him all the way to the locker room. Great concern for Anthony Davis after this game. And the potential of his availability for Friday's Game 6 in L.A., here's Lakers coach Darvin Ham.
Seems to be doing really good already, so that's just where it's at. That's the status of it right now.
So right away, they're letting you know he's fine.
You're a liar. Like, dude had to do a wheelchair. He had to walk. He couldn't continue the game. Sounds like a concussion, whether you want to call it a grade 1, a grade 2, a grade 3. But there's no way that he would have those type of symptoms instantaneously. And all of a sudden, oh, he's fine.
He's all
no,
good.
They just did that because they need him to muscle through, and they don't want to have him even get checked out for a concussion. Stop it.
Well, before 9 a.m. this morning, Pacific time, Chris Haynes, of course, from Bleacher Report TNT, reported that, and he wrote it just like this, so pay attention. Lakers star Anthony Davis, parentheses, head injury, is expected to be available for Game 6 Friday, barring a setback, league sources tell him. So he still has to go through the protocols. They have to check him out because it was head contact and he was definitely woozy. So it's going to be interesting to see as the day goes on. But right now they say he's expected to be available. But what are you getting out of Anthony Davis if he is able to play, if he's not quite himself? And let's remember, too. Remember, Tua Tagovailoa. Yep. In that game when he got body slammed, if you remember, he stayed in the game and the Dolphins got criticized for it, right? And then what did McDaniel say? Oh, we're on the plane. We're watching a movie. He was fine. And then the next day is when he started having symptoms. You don't want that situation to happen here. So I would watch this very closely and see what his availability is going to be. Unless he was being overly dramatic and took himself out of the game.
I mean, at the time of the game, they still had an opportunity to make a run.
They were within 12 or 14, I believe, at that
point.
Yeah,
I mean, that's nothing.
In the fourth quarter.
Sports. Yeah, that's nothing in sports. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. Like, I think it should be high concern because even if you fake it and he goes there, does it end up being like one of these Scottie Pippen games where now you got him on the court and he's useless? Because it's his ability to prevent guys from coming to the lane. They got to go small. Does that mean they move LeBron James to center? There's a lot of things that's got to happen. And you got to say definitely advantage Golden State Warriors.
And then obviously if you're Golden State and he's in the game, what are you going to do? You're going to be as aggressive with him as you possibly can. See if he flinches. See how he's really feeling. Make him move a lot. Bump him. Hit him. Right? Like this is the playoffs now.
Exactly.
It's show friends. It's show business.
Exactly.
So all stuff to watch in what has been a really compelling series so far. All right, time now as we're in audio files for a Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Samuel Institute for Pain Management. The Yankees finish up what was a slump-busting, desperately needed, easy three-game sweep of the Oakland Athletics yesterday afternoon. They did so with Anthony Volpe coming up with the biggest hit of the game.
High fly ball, deep center. Going back, Ruiz, still back on the track at the wall. See ya! A grand slam for the kid! And the Yankees lead 11-2!
Man, you gotta love that, don't you?
Got to.
It's just, first of all, it's Michael Kay and his wonderful voice calling a home run of the Yankees. Classic sound. But then it's also the young player. Look, Volpe, there was a lot of questions about, first of all, earn the job he did. And then how is he going to play the start of the season? While this has been a meandering kind of start for the Yankees, just hovering over 500, what we haven't really paid attention to is how he has made his way. And he does not look like he's overwhelmed. He doesn't look like this is too much for him. He looks very much where he belongs. I believe that's his third or fourth home run, right, at this point? So the good news within a lot of the frustration and, you know, consternation about the injuries and everything else with the Yankees is that their top prospect, who a lot of people thought was going to start in the minors this season, started in the majors and it was the right decision, and he looks like the goods. He looks like the real thing. That's a great sign.
Too bad when they send him down when Hicks is back available.
You stop it. You love being a hater. But I'll tell you what, though, as now the series begins, the real series, that they get back into playing Major League Baseball, with the Tampa Rays now in town and Domingo Germán on the mound tonight, the Yankees found themselves 10 games back of the Rays after the weekend series with games that were close, a game they won on Saturday, and then on Sunday had a 6-run lead with Gerrit Cole on the mound and somehow found a way to lose that game. Otherwise, you take that frustration away and you're like, you know what? They were very competitive against what has been a very good Rays team. So now you get a 4-game set in the Bronx. And this is another one with Judge back now in the lineup. This is another one of those. Okay, let's see what we're made of matching up with them one more time. So an exciting series that is setting up right now over this weekend with Tampa. That's the Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. All right, Bart, we complete audio files with this from Troy Aikman. The announcement, this is on Good Morning America, of what we thought would happen, which is the Jets opening their season, week one on Monday Night Football. We knew that part was coming. What we didn't know was the opponent. And here's Troy letting us know what he thinks of Jets-Bills Monday Night Football.
I think it's fantastic, Robin. It's like you said, Aaron Rodgers was the story all offseason. He went where he was hoping to go, and that's the New York Jets. And immediately they're a Super Bowl contender. And we all know what Josh Allen and the Bills have been able to do the last several years. They've come up a little bit short. But to have that game on Monday Night Football to kick off the season after what will be a really exciting weekend. The NFL does such a great job putting the schedule together. But we're really excited to be ending off the week one game with the Bills at New York Jets. Should be fantastic.
Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, they're with us now. Monday Night Football, ESPN, and it's the Jets and the Bills. And Bart, let me ask you a question. The Jets have rivalries in the past. When you were a Jet, the rival was the Patriots. You guys hated them. Your ex wasn't kissing anybody's ring. You had your famous can't wait moment. But right now, going into the season with the Jets and their defense and Aaron Rodgers and all this stuff, who would you point to if you were in that locker room? Who's your rival right now? Would it be the Bills?
No, it's got to be the Dolphins because they talk all that smoke, and the Dolphins traditionally look at the game against the Jets as like a Super Bowl game. And we only know that because when Tannenbaum left and went there, he talked about the emphasis, about the history of the two teams, the whole Jumbo Elliott, the whole fake spike type of thing. And Miami is a formidable opponent. You got the words of Tyreek Hill, who the Jets kind of shunning them, using the Jets as leverage. I think it's the Miami Dolphins. And when we were there, it was still a big beef between us as well because they talk a lot of smack. But the Bills aren't far behind.
The Jets?
Exactly. So now he looks – I wonder what quarterback he'd rather be playing with now.
Well
– and Tua and his pretty balls. Let's see if he can stay healthy for the whole entire year.
Tua actually has probably one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught in my life. So
one of them. What's the other one look like?
Exactly.
I disagree with you.
Phrasing?
I think it's the Bills.
Okay.
I think you have to look at who's in the crosshairs. Who's the bully on the block? I need to knock him out first. Let him know that we're coming for the title. Miami doesn't have a title. Miami was chasing last year as well. Miami hasn't accomplished anything. The Bills have become the it team. They have become the team that people thought had an opportunity to get to a Super Bowl. Everybody loves Josh Allen and loves what those Bills teams have been over the last couple of years as they have built towards being an AFC contender. So to me, my rival are the Buffalo Bills. That's my division, and that's a team I need to send a message to. The Dolphins, I don't look at them as, of course they're competition. But the Bills are the bully on the block in the division. So to me, that's the rival now. Not Miami, and certainly not New England. Now, you've got to beat them, and it's divisional, so you know those games are always going to be heightened. It's not like you overlook them. That's not what I'm saying. But if I'm power ranking teams that I need to knock out, that I need to send a message to, that I got in my crosshairs, like this is the logo that's on the mirror that I see every morning on my vanity to remind me of why I work so hard, it's the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, right, because they're the guys that won the division. But I'm just saying historically, like it's just like
– I know the history part. I'm talking about now with Aaron Rodgers in my holster.
Yeah. But, I think the Dolphins are going to be a good team and they're going to be right there. I think it's a three-team race. It's just kind of like I look at the Ravens, how the Ravens, the Bengals are like the team to beat, but they still hate the Steelers over things that have happened in the past. But listen, I'm with you. Listen, they got to go through them. You got two of the young guns. Definitely the mark is the Buffalo Bills because we know that window's closing for them, so they have a sense of desperation, that they got to deal with. Yeah. And the Jets got to let them know early on, this is our division now, punk.
That's right. And the other thing to think about that is another reality to this is if the Jets are playing the Bills at home on Monday Night Football in week one, when do you think you're going to see the Bills again? Let's be honest. We know what happens with the schedule.
They're going to do it probably the last game. They're going to make it so it's like you're going to have to wait all year to get that nasty taste out of your mouth if you lose.
And it's also because how they always stack the schedule. which is the end of the season, is always division opponents. So you're probably not going to see Buffalo until December. And it's up in Buffalo, cold and miserable. And so if you're still in contention for the division and you lose week one, you need to win up there in cold weather, in miserable climate, and just, again, everything that you hate about having to go up there. And that's what makes it even more compelling. And that's what makes week one, there's so much on that game, more than you could imagine. It's more than just you'd like to get off to a good start on Aaron Rodgers' debut night. You'd like to show the country on national TV on Monday Night Football that you're here and that you are a team to contend with. You'd like to prove that the Jets have arrived and all that stuff. But in the end, it's still a divisional game against, like I said, the point I'm trying to make is your biggest rival right now. The team that you need to show we can run with you. And you did last year with Zach Wilson at the helm. But maybe they didn't take you so serious last year because you had Zach Wilson at the helm.
Yeah.
But with Aaron Rodgers and all the hype and all the attention that you're
going to get their
Buffalo's
best,
going to be ready for you. Absolutely. That's what makes this matchup so compelling. And yet, as a Jets fan, so nerve-wracking as well. Yeah, that's Audio Files. Go ahead.
No, I mean, listen, and want to get some get back from last year.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be huge coming out the gate. They don't understand what this is all about, so you better be prepared. And this is what I worry about. I worry about the young players who really they had a moderate amount of success.
Right.
Now with all the attention, can they handle the bright lights?
Ooh, true too. Another new experience for a lot of these guys is, you know, maneuvering that part of it as well. Being, because of Aaron Rodgers, being on the big stage, you know, you're the Beatles. You know, like you're everybody wants a piece of you because of this guy on your team, and especially if you have success. How do they manage that? And it's New York, by the way.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I was just introduced to a video today that I need to share with you, and I just sent it to you on your – you can go ahead and take a look at that on your phone.
Oh, please.
Janelle Monáe has a new video out.
I love Janelle Monáe. She is so beautiful to me too.
Yeah. Videos like this is why MTV was just so important to anyone growing up in the 80s. This is why music videos are important.
BET After Dark too.
Yo, this
– Tip Drill, yeah, this would have been my life, son.
Yeah, well, this is Tip Drill levels.
Ooh.
Yeah. You need this. You need. Damn. Like, I'm still I'm watching this thing and I still am trying to figure out how this is just readily available anywhere on the internet. Yeah. Just go ahead and watch that while I take a call.
I appreciate it. Do that.
Yeah. Did you start the video yet?
Not yet.
Okay. I want to hear your audible reaction.
I still got your one from yesterday from the 4-foot chick.
Oh, Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa, can you take me home?
head to toe, baby.
Oh, that's how she started?
No, it's just that's a tame beginning to a video that just
it's age restricted too.
It that video goes the wrong way, right? So quickly that you're engulfed in it to a point where I'm stuttering because I can't talk because I'm still watching the video.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I'm gonna let you enjoy that for a minute.
Well, oh, appreciate it.
While I grab a call or two, 800-919-3776. Let's take Jeff in Long Island. What's up, Jeff?
Guys, how you doing, man?
All right.
I'm super excited about the Knicks win yesterday. A lot of things that I saw that I think when you carry over into game six and possibly take that W over there and bring it back home to the Garden. But the first thing I want to say is, can somebody please kick Bam Adebayo's ass? I'm tired of this dude having dude's ankles roll over on his feet, man. I'm starting to think that he's doing this thing intentionally. Did it to Randall. He did it to Brunson. He did it to Quickly. Now he did it yesterday to Robinson. I mean, like, this is getting out of hand, man. Somebody got to step up and show this dude, like, yo, we're not tolerating this.
I'm telling you, like that's the one thing that I've really marveled at this series is how much restraint the Knicks have showed physically from the beating that they have taken in this series. From a lot of just little – like, listen, if you're playing, like, just two-on-two in the driveway and it's like a family party and it's like two uncles and they're older than you and, you know, like, you're younger and you know that they can't keep up with you athletically, but they're doing little tricks like the trip – and they're,
oh, did they
like,
hurt or they
or
smack
jam,
you?
Jamming you in the back of the rib, like when you're trying to spin on
or like
on
Keyshawn,
them just,
when you're about to jump, push you while you're in air.
Man, Keyshawn did that to me a couple of times, dude.
Yeah, he's
but
a bad
like,
guy.
Like, but when you're like, you want to just haul off and just sock them in the face when they do something like that. And it's amazing to me how many times the Knicks just get up and like move on to the next play.
That let me know.
Like,
that let me know.
No
that
one
let me
punched
know.
Kyle Lowry in the face yet. How has that not happened yet?
That's when you put Fournier in and say, light bread, earn your stripes.
Just cough on him. Apparently he's sick.
Or give him a kiss. Like, would that get you a suspension if he just sweat hauled off and kissed the dude? Nas X style, just mwah. That talk about getting somebody off their game.
Just,
what if he kissed him on
Dennis
the neck?
Robin did. Just instead of like, Robin did. Just go proctologist on him.
Yeah. Instead of like Lance Stevenson, just kind of get close and kind of lick his earlobe. But kind of do it, but like actually touch it.
It's true. Let's go. Let's go to Dave in East Meadow. What's up, Dave?
I know your secret, Kyle.
Hey guys, how are you?
All right, good.
Really pumped up after last night. Just want to talk about a couple things leading into the game, during the game, and going forward. So I think leading into the game, we expected a big game out of Mitch. If you saw the article in the Post yesterday, he was getting razzed for letting Bam abuse him. So I expected a big game out of him. I thought Julius looked good until he got whacked in the face. And I thought Brunson, from the opening tip, you could just see his footwork. He just had an extra step last night from the very tip of the game, like especially with the colored sneakers. You could just see he had a different gear. During the game, like you said, great restraint by Randall. But I think the officiating was brutal early. I mean, three offensive fouls in four possessions.
That was amazing to see that, right? And the fouls early on were 7-2. Like, it got ridiculous. Like, it was like, what's going on here? There was a point where the Knicks had seven turnovers and only six made field goals. And then they had the three offensive fouls were part of the seven turnovers. And you're just thinking to yourself, like, what is happening here? But it flipped so quickly, and all it was one substitution. Obi Toppin comes in the game, and the Knicks just suddenly played faster, moved up and down the floor, got into a rhythm, and then they were on their way after that.
Yeah, I think that it's crazy that they don't look at the Randall foul of getting whacked in the face, but yet they're going to – Jimmy Butler does the leg kick out on a three. Not only do they not change the call, they give a flagrant to Hart. I mean, that's preposterous.
That one I didn't get either. And you heard Jimmy Jackson on the TNT broadcast also disagreed with it. Saying to himself that he kicked his leg forward. Like, what am I supposed to do as a defender? I've got to be able to land also. Like, if you're kicking forward, what am I supposed to do? Kick backward? I can't land if I do that. So that I didn't like that call either. But they're getting those kind of calls because that's how they've played consistently. And that's something that the Knicks have had to adjust to.
And I thought Barrett, like you said in your opening, Barrett stepped up. I'm going to give you a quick player comparison to Barrett. Okay. I want to know what you think, Alan.
Good.
Adrian Dantley.
Adrian Dantley was a scoring machine, though, man.
Nice low post game.
Yeah, low post, got to the foul line a ton. Adrian Dantley was
AD was a better scorer, man.
And you know what, too? AD was a guy, was a great scorer. Thanks for the call, Dave. But the thing with Dantley, it's the reason why they moved on from him. Remember when he was with Detroit?
Yeah, Pistons, yeah.
Because
his best friend, Mark McGuire.
Well, that's one of the reasons why is that, Isaiah wanted his best friend on the team. But it was because Dantley was an old school player on a team that at that time was fairly younger guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Dantley wanted to slow it down. And he just wanted in the post, and he would just grind and slow it and draw fouls. And while it was productive, they just didn't want to play that way. And he was so ball dominant about it that they just had to get him. They wanted him off the team. Great scorer, but he played. I don't know if RJ's that kind of guy. I don't know if how good of a comparison that is.
Again, Buck Williams.
Buck Williams was like a 6'10" power forward.
Yeah, but RJ's bulky like that. In this,
so he's a guard version of a power forward.
Yeah, in today's
power guard.
Yeah, in today's basketball, he's huge. He's Buck Williams huge.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.